The Thread is a new hit podcast from Ozzymedia that explores history's surprising connections in order to discover how one thing leads to another, like how movie moguls in early Hollywood helped spark the Me Too movement today. Get it on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We're trying to figure out who exactly Kawhi Leonard is. That seems to be a bigger question because we have no idea who Kawhi Leonard is, because we thought Kawhi Leonard was this guy that was a member of the San Antonio Spurs that was very, very soft-spoken, ended up being a great teammate, and became a superstar in the NBA based purely on his talents and his modest attitude. Now, when we see Kawhi Leonard demanding a trade out of San Antonio, having his representatives change, and now having family members represent him and telling him that he should be out of San Antonio and preferably in Los Angeles, the Kawhi Leonard that we thought was Kawhi Leonard for the early part of his career may not be the Kawhi Leonard that we thought he was. And Jonas, this brings up a lot of questions as Kawhi Leonard now could be being shot by the San Antonio Spurs, or at least teams are looking into acquiring him. And if you're looking into acquiring Kawhi Leonard, I don't know who you're going to acquire if you're an NBA team. If you are the Lakers, if you are the Celtics, if you are the 76ers, I think there is a big question now of actually who Kawhi Leonard is and what type of player you would get in acquiring him.
We're so fixated on the move and where he goes that we're not really paying attention to a couple of problematic things going on with Kawhi Leonard. First of all, he appears to be a little diva-ish in this whole scenario. Got his feelings hurt, didn't like teammates calling him out. I understand that to a certain extent, but you want to go to a big market and you want to go to LA, and it's a much different media market than it is. They're not going to grind you down like they would in New York, but they are going to ask a lot more questions and ask a lot more of you. So San Antonio kind of played into his personality, mm-hmm. So we thought, in that regard. So it's a little problematic that all of a sudden this guy just can't coexist with an organization that's been able to coexist with world champions for the past 15 to 20 years. That's problematic area number one. Problematic area number two is this injury, because it's going one of two ways. Either he's really injured and he's bothered that people were thinking that he wasn't really injured. So then we've got maybe this is a more serious injury than we realize. And if we've got to manage this moving forward, maybe this changes our expectations over what he is as a player. And then if he's not really injured, and this was a ploy to get out of San Antonio, the diva aspect sparks up again. Like, this isn't this is a rarity to get a guy like this available at this time and you can land him. Oh my God, no flaws, nothing wrong here, no issues whatsoever. We've got to get him at all costs. No, there are problem areas here with Kawhi Leonard. I think everybody's focused on the move and the destination instead of what's coming along with the move.
The chronic nature of that hamstring and quad that he's dealing with is, that's the most concerning to me, Jonas. Usually it would be attitude. Usually it would be what kind of guy we are getting. But now, if you are going to acquire him, the possibility of it being damaged goods is something that you really you can't do anything with. You can maybe put up with his attitude. You can maybe put up with a diva aspect of it. But in trade value as well, if you're looking at an injured player and you then want to give him a max contract, he may have a bad attitude for 5 years and you just end up putting up with it. But if he's got a chronic injury to that quad for 5 years, it will get worse and worse. So your investment is less and less. I mean, there have been teammates that haven't gotten along in the NBA forever. So if you bring Kawhi Leonard in and the attitude isn't there, that's maybe something you can work with. The injury of the chronic nature, and we had Brian Geltzeiler on earlier this week saying that, you know, it's a chronic injury.
It's got to be managed properly.
Yeah. Like to deal with something like that is the biggest issue for me. And if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, who have been tied to Kawhi Leonard, I think a year ago it's a no-brainer that you take Kawhi Leonard over Paul George as a player. And now with the injury, with the attitude that you mentioned, I'm not sure that that gap between the two, if you're a Lakers fan, is as wide as it once was. I would rather have Paul George for the simple fact of we know that he loves Southern California, and there's no injury risk to it. With Kawhi comes the risk, and now Paul George almost seems like the safe bet if you're the Lakers to land him.
And let me tell you this. You want to talk about who's bounced back from an injury? If there was anybody that could question whether or not he could still play and continue his NBA career, it's the guy whose leg almost fell off during the summer when he was playing in a U.S. Olympic basketball team game. His leg snapped. That guy figured it out, mentally fought through it. And that's the biggest thing of all. Like, mentally, do you ever trust it again? You talk to athletes, they'll tell you, it's not so much the injury, the recovery is frustrating, the rehab is frustrating. It's when you get back out there, do you trust it? That's going to be what Gordon Hayward's going to have to deal with in Boston. I remember a year ago, Chris Mannix was on the network here at Fox Sports Radio, and Chris Mannix, who has a show here every Sunday with Caron Butler, was on with Colin Cowherd. He was the only guy who was talking about, you know, everyone's thinking Boston's got this and Boston's got that. He's all, you know, there's something about that Isaiah Thomas hip injury that nobody's discussing. He's like, I'm hearing, you know, I've heard some bad things, and he was close to the Boston organization. That wasn't really talked about until later in the offseason when a move was made, and then you saw that it was problematic, and he decided to have surgery and get it looked at. This is the same thing. Like, all we're focusing on is the move. We're not really focusing on the injury. If the injury was so bad that he couldn't play at all when they desperately needed him in the postseason a year ago, then that's a problem that should be taken into account. And if he wasn't all that injured and he just didn't want to play, then that's a problem that should be taken into account. And nobody's focusing on that. They're just focusing, oh, we got to have Kawhi. How do you know it's not damaged goods?
Yeah, I think it's a huge question. And if you're the Lakers, you know, there's a lot of talk when there are trade deadlines, or if a player's going to be released, why would a team actually trade a pick for a player when you could just sign him? Sometimes it's just to get ahead of another team if they're going to clear waivers. In baseball, this happens a lot. If they're like, oh, they're going to release him, why would you put a claim in? Well, maybe to prevent him from going somewhere else. Also, a cheap draft pick for a trade at least gets him in the player in your building. If you're the Lakers and you're trying to figure out what the situation is with Kawhi Leonard and trying to figure out, okay, is it worth making a trade with San Antonio if he's got this injury, if he's got this attitude, if he's going to be a free agent and sign with us anyway? You've got that question if you're the Lakers. The reality is, Jonas, when you look at who the Lakers are thinking of bringing in, you've got LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. You already have Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram. They can afford to trade one of those guys. Otherwise, it's going to be an entire team of threes and fours. You're just going to have a bunch of small forwards who can play a bunch of different positions. So the Lakers at least could
It'll
take
be the Wizards.
The Lakers at least...
Five Otto Porters.
That's essentially what it would be. You could at least, if you wanted to take that risk, if you're looking at the makeup of your team, the Lakers have an abundance of riches at that position if you were to bring in, say, a LeBron or a Paul George or Kawhi, that where you could give up a Brandon Ingram or Kyle Kuzma.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Should find out in a couple of days whether LeBron James is going to opt into his contract with the Cavaliers. That deadline comes up on Friday. That and a whole bunch more right now with our good friend from USA Today covering the NBA, Sam Amick. Hey, Sam, thanks so much for coming on. Sam?
Yep.
Hey,
there, guys.
Yeah, we got you there. We are good to go. Glad to have you with us. Hey, we were just talking at the start of the show about Kawhi Leonard and who Kawhi Leonard really is. Who is the Kawhi Leonard that you know, and has it changed over the last year with the situation going on with the Spurs?
Interesting question. I can't pretend to know the answer right now. I mean, the guy to a degree I'd gotten to know and covering him, and bear in mind, I did do some stuff with him right in the beginning. I actually had a trip to Vegas when I was at Sports Illustrated where I sat in on a workout with Kawhi as he got ready for the draft, and you know, had a meal with him, and that was the beginning of my dealings with Kawhi. And he was as quiet back then as he is now. So you always hear that adjective, you know, attached to him. I don't know that he's changed from the standpoint of how he's wired. The guy is an incredible worker, an incredible talent. I think right now, you know, what is concerning to people with the Spurs, certainly, and then curious to people all around the league, is just the degree to which people around him are guiding his directions, guiding his motives. You know, his uncle certainly is outspoken. And so I think who Kawhi is, unfortunately, right now seems to be lost in the whole equation.
Is this injury that seems to be the beginning of sort of the fallout between the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard, is it maybe more problematic than a lot of us realize?
I don't think we have clarity on that. I mean, anytime you're talking about 73 games missed in the regular season, the entire first round, and listen, when they played the Warriors, you know, first column I wrote of the whole playoffs was, where is Kawhi? He couldn't even come and sit on the bench, and it was certainly an indication of the state of the relationship between him and the team. Going forward, you've got, you know, a health situation where I think the concern certainly is that there's a degenerative, can't even say that word, sorry, guys.
Neither could we,
element
worry.
To the injury that would cause me some concern if I was a GM. But, you know, that combined with the personality question, I think, is why these teams that are in the running for him, I think, are going to have a heck of a time figuring out, you know, to what degree are they willing to chase him? Are they willing to give up? You know, I don't envy some of the GMs involved right now.
Sam Amick of the USA Today joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Find him on Twitter at @Sam_Amick. What did you make of Magic Johnson's comments yesterday? First of all, saying, I'm Magic Johnson, I've faced Larry Bird, that's pressure and whatnot. But also saying, if I don't get something done in the next 2 years, I will step down. What did you make of the now president of the Lakers saying that?
Honestly, guys, I thought it was strange, and I didn't love it when it comes to the optics. And the reason why is because I feel like the days of those types of proclamations for the Lakers should be over. I understood it when Jim Buss did it, because he was under such scrutiny and immense pressure that it sent a message that he was willing to, you know, prioritize the organization over himself at a certain point and not just fight scratch and claw to hold on to the job, even if he wasn't performing. I think if I was LeBron or Paul George or even Kawhi, I wouldn't love the message that Magic sent, because it doesn't make me feel like you're in it for the long haul. Because you don't see Pat Riley coming out and saying, well, we've had a couple of rough summers, maybe I need to step down. It doesn't really exude confidence. This job is about a whole lot more than convincing superstars to come to town. You know, and for me, the irony was, I had just talked to Jeannie Buss at the NBA Awards in Santa Monica, and she gave a glowing endorsement of Magic and Rob Pelinka when it comes to the draft, when it comes to some of the trades they've made that showed an ability to understand the collective bargaining agreement and maneuver and, you know, the context of the league. So, I mean, that's how you build the organization over the long haul. I felt like it was a little gimmicky of Magic to act like, if he can't wave the magic wand, so to speak, that he's going to step aside.
Sam Amick of USA Today with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday, that this time around, this decision feels different for LeBron James, because the first time it was, what can I do to overtake the aging Boston Celtics? And the second time, he was going to a ready-made Kyrie Irving and a different situation in Cleveland. The Golden State Warriors didn't exist in what they currently are either of those times. So to me,
right,
it kind of makes his decision maybe more difficult than I think people realized when initially it was happening. And that's why, if you were a Cav fan, are you starting to gain a little bit of optimism as this goes on?
Maybe a little bit. And I'll only stop there because I can't help but feel like, you know, the relationship with Cavs owner Dan Gilbert is potentially just the real obstacle here, and the kind of thing that, you know, it felt when I was covering the finals like this was the end for LeBron in Cleveland. Now listen, I read the piece that Dave McMahon, ESPN, wrote, and it was good, you know, and kind of talking about the relationship with the owner is the one thing that I just feel like there's such a divide there, and, you know, I don't know if they can get over that. Now listen, you look at the alternatives, right, and you say, man, and this is where I'm at today, is LeBron going to do Lakerland by himself? I mean, that just seems like, you know, the Mission Impossible, if ever there was one in the NBA, when you're talking about playing teams like the Rockets and the Warriors and the Spurs when they're at their best. You know, so that's why right now I don't know which direction this thing is going to go.
Sam, does Dan Gilbert want to move on from LeBron?
I think that's a possibility. He would never admit it. People around him call you crazy if you say that. But then you do hear rumblings that, you know, the way it's been expressed to me and kind of that assertion is that, you know, that he's ready to get his franchise back. I think it's a really interesting thing you could analyze just from a relationship human standpoint, because so much positive comes with having LeBron on your team and having him be part of your organization. But Dan, you know, everybody's got an ego, period. But owners in general, these are wildly successful men who are not used to feeling marginalized in the slightest bit. And if Dan can't get over the fact that LeBron represents Cavs basketball a whole lot more than Dan Gilbert does, then who knows, maybe in his private moments, you know, he says, yeah, let me just have my team back and do, you know, and get back to where the players work for me and I pull the strings and I'm not getting second-guessed all the time.
Sam Amick, USA Today NBA insider with us here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, nobody's listening, just between us here. Selfishly, how much do you want LeBron to make his decision before 4th of July?
I'm kind of over it. I was joking with my wife earlier today. We have a neighborhood barbecue set up every year on the 4th of July, and we live at the end of a court. So to paint the picture for you, what happens is all the neighbors are in the street doing fireworks and burgers and having beverages, and I'll pop out for a few minutes here and there, but my office is in the front of the house, so I sit there like a puppy dog that you know, the kid can go play, and I'm on the phone doing my thing. I mean, obviously Durant made his choice on the 4th. I forget if Dwight Howard did it on the 4th as well. We've had a few.
Didn't Gordon Hayward? Hayward did.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward did. Just don't do the Gordon Hayward thing where, you know, if somebody scoops it, if we break it, just confirm it and let us move on. Don't do this thing where you say it's not accurate and then 6 hours later you say it's accurate. Let's have it be a clean cut so we can at least get a burger or a hot dog in.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Because then Utah was like, see, and then, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 540 minutes later, it's, yeah.
You could do a whole show on that, but what's so interesting about that and how much media has changed is, I mean, these players get paid to tell their stories. You know, it's not a lot of money, but there is a financial transaction taking place, and so it does not behoove them to help us do our jobs. They're trying to beat us at what we do. So, you know, it gets pretty convoluted in that regard.
Well, Maverick Carter apparently was hinting towards to the Wall Street Journal that LeBron's decision is going to appear on the Uninterrupted. So at least
it's funny because I've inquired about that. I'm going to handicap it. It doesn't really matter if I'm wrong. I would be surprised if that were the case. I'll just say that much. I think that, you know, certainly there's a discussion already, you know, taking place about how they're going to do it. But as far as the odds go, I'm going to put the Uninterrupted down the list a little bit. You know, I don't know how he does it, but I think LeBron might not like the optics of having the message come out on a platform where he has a business relationship. I think he knows that it almost cheapens it a little bit. We'll see if I'm right or not, though.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up, Jonas, with Sam with this, because for full disclosure, we had a draft earlier this week here on the show on how LeBron was going to reveal. So I'm going to just give you the five options, Sam. You can pick the most likely. We have written word, Instagram, radio, TV, or Twitter. Of those five, where would you say LeBron most likely or how he most likely makes his decision?
I'm going to go with, can I pick a new option?
Oh, sure. Option F.
Option F, I'm going to say don't forget about the swoosh. That's all I'll say.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. All right. All right.
I think maybe in concert with the old shoe company that he's had such a long relationship with. That's one of the rumblings I heard.
Sam, let me ask you this last one. I promise you, we lied to you twice already and said last one. It's
no
not. All right, last one. If LeBron hits you up, got in your DMs, contacted you in some way and said, I want you to break it, but here's the stipulation. I need you to dress up like the Statue of Liberty, and you can do it on one of those rotating signs outside a car dealership. Would you do it?
That's a hard no.
Sam.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Sam Amick, USA Today, last one for it. No, just kidding. We're done. Sam, go on with your day. Covering the NBA for the USA Today, Sam Amick. We appreciate it. Yeah, good luck over these next couple of weeks.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now, he's a center for the New York Knicks. Question is, how long? Ennis Kanter joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Ennis, how you doing today?
How you doing? Good, man. How are you?
We are doing well. You got a decision to make, and one to make on Friday, by Friday.
Yes.
What is the situation with your contract, and are you going to opt in to your contract and play next season with the New York Knicks?
Yeah, just break it right now on our show.
Yeah, that's
Ennis,
what
so we really
all we want
appreciate
to know.
It.
I told everybody, you know, I'm going to make my decision Friday. So I have, I got two more days, man. You know, I'm taking my time.
Okay. Well, let me just sell you on the city of Milwaukee. Okay. Let me just say the winters aren't as bad as you may think.
Brand new arena.
You've got Giannis Antetokounmpo there. I know you know that. And I'm just saying the Bucks may have an interest if Ennis makes his decision one way or the other. And I just totally randomly, I just want to tell you, Milwaukee is beautiful in the fall. It's beautiful in the spring. You're going to be mostly indoors in the winter anyway. You know what winter's like in New York. I'm just trying to sell you on how great of a city Milwaukee is.
Oh man, I'm still thinking about it. It's a tough decision for sure. But I'm saying this from the beginning of the season. I want to stay with the Knicks, man. I mean, I love the fan base. I love the atmosphere. I love the city. I love the organization. Everything. So I'll do anything to stay here. You know.
Hey, what's the earliest in the morning? And by earliest, I mean latest you've left a club that you've eaten at one of those Euro carts in Manhattan.
Okay, say it again.
One of those street trucks in Manhattan that are open in all hours of the night. Usually people
street
walk
meat.
Out of, yeah, like street meat, Euros. Like, what's the latest?
Yes.
The earliest you've been at one of those after leaving someplace.
Ooh, man. You know what? I don't trust them. I don't know if they've even,
it's a good
move. I don't even know if they've cleaned it up. I never eat there before.
Okay, in all seriousness, have you had any sort of interaction with LeBron James outside of social media to try and lure him to New York if you decide to stay?
Actually, no, man, not really. All I do is just trying to get him on social media. But I think it'll be an amazing fit, man, because like he's trying to be the best. I feel like if he wins in New York, then there's no question he's the best. He's the GOAT if he wins in New York. Because the whole city, the organization, everything, man, it's New York, you know. That's it. Enough talk that that's New York.
What is the greatest thing about being a Knick?
I think just, like, first of all, they call it the Mecca. So everybody comes here, make sure they get a fresh haircut. They play their best. Even if you hurt, you're good because you're playing coming at MSG. I think it's just the best thing about being a Knick is just it's the city, man. I love being here.
How much different was that for you coming from Oklahoma City to Madison Square Garden? Just the number, the amount of media, the reporters.
Yeah.
Like, how much different was that for you? Did it take time to get used to it and adjusted?
Yes, it did. But my first team was Utah Jazz, and man, I don't want to even talk about it. My second team was Oklahoma City. The whole organization, the players, everybody was so nice. I cannot thank him enough. But New York City, man, it's a whole different level, man. I mean, whole different state, whole different players, everything. I mean, that's why I think this is the best. I think that's what they call the Mecca.
Ennis Kanter joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, center for the New York Knicks. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Beyer. I know it's early, but in your conversations, how different is it with David Fizdale as now the head coach? What has impressed you, or what's been different just with him now leading the organization?
I mean, when I was with OKC, I played against him so many times against Memphis. I mean, I just love how he uses players. He gives so much freedom. He gives so much confidence, and players feel so much comfortable on the court. I mean, I met him in Chicago around the draft combine. And then, man, that guy gave me so much confidence. And, you know, just he said, hey, we know you can't score inside. Now we just want you to step outside, stop shooting threes, stretch the floor. I'm like, coach, you sure? I said, yeah, I want you to shoot threes. I'm like, okay, coach. You know, and then I've been working since. I think he's already changing the culture. I think he's He's a hardworking guy. I think he's going to be really, good for us.
What's the any time during your career, the one report or rumor about you on social media that was the biggest lie?
The biggest lie. I'm trying to think. I think there was a rumor. They said Enes Kanter was about to get traded to Toronto Raptors. I think that was like the biggest lie or something. Biggest rumor. That was terrible. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, but did it get you scared a little bit? You saw it on social media. Didn't you call your agent or somebody and go, is there any truth to this?
Actually, yes, because I don't even have a passport. So I'm like, how am I going to go to Toronto Raptors and play basketball? I was like, come on, man. I'm not going there.
Road games only.
Yeah.
You'd be well rested for the playoffs if that were the case. Enes Kanter, the New York Knicks, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Beyer. You can get Enes on Twitter at Enes_Kanter. Tell me this. We've got you in New York City at Times Square 5 hours ago and an In-N-Out 3 hours ago. What is the meaning of these pictures with no title? I don't know how you could be in two places at one time and be in.
No, I was just messing with people because I get so many questions from my friends, like all these people, just the fans. Hey, man, are you going to opt in or opt out, in or out? That's why I posted that picture, In-N-Out picture. But I think the Times Square, yesterday was my third time straight. I went there. I think I would just like, I just love being there, man. Just be with the fans, hang out with them, talk to them, take pictures. I think it just shows that how much these fans are, they're valuable and special these fans are because they are just so respectful. Whenever I go there, they just give me so warm welcome. I think even if I decided to stay here, I think that just because of the fans will be the number one case.
You seem like you enjoy it so much. So how much of this is just, let me kind of tease them a little bit and make everybody think I'm still weighing my option. It just seems like a perfect fit for you, man. You have a great time there. The fans love you. It seems like your type of place, your type of energy. I mean, do you sort of have a feeling now already which to say? You don't have to tell us, which way you're going or which way you're leaning, but do you have a feeling which way you're leaning as far as whether you're going to stay in New York or whether you're going to leave right now, even though you're going to announce it Friday?
It's just so weird. So I had this, charity event, this Clinton Foundation. So I went there, I met with Bill Clinton. Even he told me he wants me to stay with the Knicks. I'm like, and there is a video I'm going to post it on for Friday. I'm like, this is crazy, man. Like, everybody on earth wants me to stay with the Knicks. I'm like, okay, Allah. I've been saying this for a long time, man. I want to stay here with the Knicks. But you got to understand, in the end, it's business, you know?
Yeah, not everybody wants you to stay with the Knicks. I'm just saying, as a Bucks fan, not everybody wants you to stay with the Knicks. Enes Kanter joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. You do have fun on social media. We've had you on the show before. We've had a good time. But there are also serious stuff that you're dealing with, specifically with your father, as a Turkish court has, I guess, labeled him a terrorist or a member of a terrorist group. How much of that occupies your time in dealing with what's going on in Turkey and what's going on with your family? How much of that occupies your time?
Well, I'm glad this is not happening during the season, and it's tough because of all this, what's happening in Turkey and to my family and all these people. It's just pretty sad, man. Because now, like the Turkish government trying to silence me. That's why they put my dad in the jail. They put my friends in the jail and everything because they don't want me to talk. And then because they know when I talk, it goes everywhere, like we're doing right now. And they know everybody's following me on social media or just all the news and everything. So I think it's just pretty sad that seeing my country, seeing my people or my family going through these tough times. But, all I can do is just pray for my country and just keep doing what I'm doing, just keep trying to be voice of all the innocent people, man, because, I mean, those people don't even have a voice. And that's why I'm using my platform to speak out and they hate it. The government hates it.
Is there guilt at all, or is that outweighed by the message that you're trying to send? Have you ever thought about not speaking because of what they're trying to do to your family?
I mean, my teammates asked me the same question. Like, he's like, hey, man, you know, your family's still there. You know, your brothers, your sister's still there. So why don't you just stop talking and just play basketball? But I think, I mean, there is not just my family. There is over 100,000 people out there waiting for help. So this is not just my family. It's my family, friends, my neighbors, my other friends. So they're waiting for help, but nobody can hear them because they don't have a voice. And that's why when I say I'm trying to be the voice of all these innocent people, that's what I mean. And I think the most important thing, man, is just, you know, basketball comes and goes. I think what I'm doing is right now way bigger than basketball, way bigger than NBA, because all these people out there, you know, they're talking about the, you know, government and the Turkish regime. Is just getting killed, getting kidnapped, getting tortured, put in the jail and stuff. So now they just put my dad in jail for 15 years just because he's my dad. I mean, that's pretty crazy, man.
Have you ever feared for your life during this whole ordeal?
Yeah, I get that. I said this before, and I get death threats like at least 2-3 times a week on social media, Instagram, message, everything. So, I mean, I don't think they can do anything in America, but as soon as I step outside of America, then it'll be way more dangerous and ugly.
Enes Kanter, our friend joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Find him on Twitter at @Enes_Kanter, and we'll be waiting Friday for your final decision on what you're going to do with your contract. And no matter what you do, good luck with that, and good luck with everything else that involves you and your family.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. That means a lot. Thank you.
Enes Kanter joining us here on Fox Sports Radio.
He's a good dude.